text for today will be Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. We read there, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." There are a couple of must statements in this section here. Most of us are used to kind of maybe some must statements in life. As a young woman prepares for marriage, a lot of times her mother will say certain things, you must do this and you must do that. Or a young man preparing as well, his father may pull him off the side. And some of these are some of the things you need to be aware of. A kid getting ready to go to camp, Boy Scout camp or any other kind of camp. I don't know how you were, but before we went to a camp, there was a long list of things, and you were told you must make sure you bring these particular things. And of course, Mom would then emphasize, you also must bring back certain things. You know, because sometimes you get there and forget to having so much fun, you don't even think about things like that. But there's certain things you must do. Before I leave to come to Sunday services, there are three or four must things that I have in my mind. I'm kind of maybe OCD about it, but I will sit there and just check each one of those things a couple times before I leave to make sure I got them. So these are a couple must statements here that Paul wants to, you notice it's chapter 4, so he's wrapping up his letter. He's wrapping it up, and as he gets to chapter 4 here, the NIV is entitled it Further Instructions. That paragraph has entitled it Further Instructions. And again, there are two key things in this statement. There are a lot of things there that you can preach off of, a lot of things we can learn from. But there are at least two that I'm taking away from today that I, as a Christian, these are two must things that they have to be in my life. If they're not in my life, then I'm going to struggle with my walk with the Lord. So the first one, you'll notice, is in verse 2, and it starts right off the bat. Devote yourselves to what? Devote yourselves to prayer. And he also says being watchful and thankful. But the main thing here I want to start with is devote yourselves to prayer. Another translation might say continue earnestly in prayer. Another one might say unwearied in prayer. Anybody ever get tired? And get tired of doing certain things? Some things are so routine over and over again, you can kind of, if you're not careful, it's not as stimulating, it's not exciting as it once was. So you kind of push it off to the side. So don't get unwearied in prayer. You need to continue earnestly. You need to devote yourself to prayer. This means it becomes a priority to you. Currently, if prayer is not a priority to you, then this statement you need to really take to heart. I know I need to take more to heart about taking time for prayer. Start your day, it's the same laundry list that you've ever heard from any minister who's ever preached on prayer, things we need to do. You ought to open up your eyes in the morning and just say a momentary prayer to God. As you face challenges during the day, you need to be talking to God. God, make this assignment go a little easier. Father, I'm getting ready to talk with someone, and it's a very troubling situation. Help me through this time. Let me say the right things. Let me do the right things. Just constantly bathing it in prayer. We need to devote ourselves to it. We often find when we're struggling, it's because we've unhooked the battery source. If something's not working right and it runs by batteries and it's got a poor connection, what will happen to it? It'll not work right. It may be intermittent, or it may just completely shut down altogether. So prayer connects us to the power source of God. Of course, the Holy Spirit enhances our prayer life. But you got to make the decision. I got to make the decision. I got to decide prayer is important. I don't care what you got to do to get your attention. Maybe go to your bathroom mirror, take you a card, write prayer on it, tape it up there on the bathroom mirror. Maybe on your bureau drawers. I don't know what you call them. That's what we grew up calling them, bureau drawers, dresser drawers, whatever you want to call them. Get you one of those little folding type of stands, a card that you can fold in half and write prayer on it in your car, just above your rearview mirror. Put the word prayer on there. You know, just so you always, when you look to see what's going, prayer. It's right there. Do whatever you got to do. Find out what you got to do. Also, no matter what you come up with personally, it's going to cause you to struggle at times. You're going to get wearied. You're going to forget. So ask someone to be an accountability partner. Maybe if you're married, it could be your spouse. Maybe as teenagers, you can find another teenager that's willing to be an accountability partner to you, where you daily or every other day ask the person, how's your prayer life? Have you been praying today? Have you been working at it? And try not to get mad at them when you have a poor answer. You know, no, I haven't done it, so stop asking me. You know, but we need to find time to pray. Why? Well, one, we're told in text to do it. But what did Jesus do? He set a great example of prayer, didn't he? I mean, right after his baptism, and before he launches on a 3-year ministry, what does he do? 40 days of fasting and praying. Before he selected his disciples, he went up on the mountainside and prayed. Before he faced the cross, what was he doing? You find him constantly praying. Early in the morning, late at night, walking on the water, praying. So find time to pray. Now, I can say it 1,000 times, I can say it 100 different ways. But it comes down to what's inside of your internal person. What's inside of you? Do you really want to be a man or woman of prayer? Do you really want it? If so, anything you want, what do? Work for it. You make time for it. You really go at it. If it's something you really want to do, you make time for it. You work at it. I knew a boy that really wanted to make the baseball team in school, but he was having just trouble hitting the curveball. So his dad went out, and his dad got a couple young boys that were really good curveball pitchers, and hour upon hour, that boy would try to hit a curveball. Eventually, he got so he could hit one pretty good. You know, now, some pitchers are unhittable, but he got so he could hit pretty good. But why did he get better? He had somebody that was interested in his life because he knew that boy wanted to be better. And the boy was willing to do what was necessary to improve. So if you want a better prayer life, first thing you need to do is what? Pray. And don't turn it into some sort of high tradition type prayers, you know, where you got to have them memorized, got to have them written out or anything like that. I don't know how your family life was, but I could walk in to Dad or Mom, but we're sticking with Dad right now. I could walk in, Dad, I got something on my heart. I got something on my mind. Can we talk for a minute? And Dad was interested in my life, and he would talk a little bit about things. When I had some traumatic things happen, Mom was available for really talking it out, being sensitive on certain issues. It was comfortable talking to Mom and Dad because they are Mom and Dad. Who's the Heavenly Father? Talk to Him about anything and everything, whatever it may be. School subjects, dating relationships, marriage problems, marriage issues, marriage joys, having children, how many children, what are we going to do as far as educating them? Just talk to, same way as you talk to anybody else, talk to God about their things. Be devoted, be intent on praying. Now, he hit on a couple extra things here when he says here, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. These are tied to prayer. It has to do with, the watchful has to do with being alert and being intent. Look for opportunities to pray. Be intentional in your praying. I mean, how many times can you say, you know, and now I lay me down to sleep, you know? How many times can you say that before you forget what you're saying after a while? God is good. God is great. You know, how many times can you say that before you're no longer really saying it? You're just repeating words. This can happen. It's sad to say in some ways, but when it came time for our family meal, when Dad would get home from work and we'd sit around the family table and just, you know, we'd get ready to eat, Dad would always say grace, and he was speed dialed to grace, just as fast as he could go, because as soon as he got done, we're going to eat. And it was kind of funny to us. It was funny to kids. Now, as a grown-up son, I wish we had taken a little bit more time just to thank God. Even if it gets really nitpicky, so to speak. And thank you for these green beans today, Lord. Thank you for this meat that's just cooked just right. Thank you for these biscuits here. I mean, just talk to God. Be intentional. Be watchful about what you say. And also, he says to be thankful. When you're praying to God, be thankful. How many of you, either as your own personal teenage life, or if you've had a teenager in your home, or currently have one, how many of you want that teenager, or you wanted yourself, your parents wanted you to be thankful just for things that they've done for you? Yeah. Clothes on your back. Food on your table. Give you some money to go to a park somewhere, or a game, or whatever. Just be what? And if our heavenly, earthly parents know how to do that, you know what God knows to do. God is constantly providing. So look for opportunities to express thanks in prayer. Thanks be to God for this. Thanks be to God for that. Whatever it may be. It may be just simple loving fellowship. It may be a job opening. Sometimes it's a window closing, and you're thankful it closed so that you can kind of focus in another direction. But be thankful, be watchful, be prayerful to God. Now, also in your prayer life, pray for others. Look at verses 3 and 4. He says there, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." Now, I am as guilty over the years as a lot of people. What's on my heart, personally in my life, is what I talk to God about. God, Carol and I are having a rough time here. We need to get things squared away. How can I convince her? You know, whatever it may be there as far as husband and wife. Or, Lord, I'm having problems with my kids. I want this problem taken care of. It involves me. We need to look around and see what we can pray for others as well. I was working at Golden Corral, which is the old Mama Cita's, which is now Happy Taco. Okay, I think it's what it's called now. All right. When I was working Golden Corral going through college, I became assistant manager, and one of the line clerks there was having a lot of issues. You could tell she was a little bit emotional. We got to talking, and she says, "I know you're studying to be a preacher." She said, "Why doesn't God answer my prayers?" Deep theological question there that you got to answer in less than a few seconds there as customers are in and out and everything's going on. And I finally got a chance to just pull her off to the side a little bit. And I said, "What are you praying for?" And she went through the litany, the list of what she was praying for. And everything was I. I said, "Maybe God will start answering your personal requests for what you need when you start asking Him for others' needs. Pray for others." I said, "I can't guarantee all this is going to work out. But I have found there's a lot more joy in praying for others, that they can have success, that they can have happiness, that they can have peace, they can have love and joy in their lives. There's a blessing comes your way when you start praying for others." That's one of the things I miss a little bit. Those of you that were aware, we went over the prayer requests here, and I know you were struggling not to mention names. You know, we want to mention names. Every Wednesday night at the elders' meeting, they're mentioning everybody's name. They're mentioning every prayer request that's given. Why aren't we doing it right now? Well, this is being recorded. It's being put up on the website. It'll be put on the Facebook page. So maybe we're praying for somebody that really didn't want their name put out there just yet. They didn't request it that way. So we got to be respectful for that, right? So we just can't throw it out there. So we want to be specific. We want to pray for others. And if you get a chance sometime, ask the elders. Ask each one of them. I think one of the highlights of our meetings is always praying for other people. Or we may not put it in the form of an actual prayer, but we're putting it out there for everybody to know, all of the elders to know, this person needs prayer and here's what it's for. So pray for others. You notice here, though, what Paul's requesting is to pray that he has an opportunity to do what? Preach the word. Spread the word. So let's keep our missionaries in prayers. Most churches don't know the names of their missionaries. Most churches don't. Even though the guy or the gal or whatever, she's over there or he's over there in a foreign country working hard, but most people don't know the names of the missionaries the church is supporting. Churches often, we haven't been able to do it because of the painting that was done, but most churches have a little missionary board and there's all the pictures up there and everything else. But most people just do what? They just walk on by. It's nice to know the names of the missionaries because they are working hard. They're trying their best. So let's pray for them that doors of opportunities are open to them, that they can, in fact, get the job done, that they can get the gospel out there. Let's be in prayer. And for those of you that are so inclined, once in a while, write a prayergram. You know, like a telegram, write a prayergram and send it to the missionary. It means a lot. I've never been, quote-unquote, a missionary on a foreign field. But in the early days at Bible College, Carol and I and the kids and everything, we would get notes once in a while from people at our home, from our home church, just saying, hey, thought of you today and prayed for you. You'd be surprised. They come in at the interesting times. You know, it's not a routine one when you get it. It's usually something, God's prepped something and you needed that prayer. So what I'm challenging you and me to do is based on this passage of Scripture so far, let's be prayer warriors. Let's pray. I enjoy the fact that on our Facebook page, a lot of you will put prayer requests up and we can respond to them. We either do the like or we do the heart or we do that little care one where they're hugging the heart. You know, I like doing that. And I also like sending the private message. I like doing the one where you do the praying hands. I always do three praying hands. I don't know why. I guess because I'm repetitive or whatever it may be. But I like to do the praying hands. And you usually see me do three to your prayer requests. Let's minister. Let's pray. And let's pray for others. One of the must things here that Paul's telling the church at Colossae is you've got to be a people of prayer. If you're not a people of prayer, then you're not really part of the God's family. You're not really doing what you should, and you need to repent of it and start praying more. Now, I said there were two must statements. The next one comes here in verse 5. And it starts off in the NIV, very straightforward. Be wise. It says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Be wise. Another translation says, walk in wisdom. Another one says, behave yourselves wisely. I guess all of us have done something stupid every now and then, right? Anybody? I'm not alone, right? Please, somebody raise your hand, knowledge. Okay. We've all done something stupid. You're perfect in every... I'm perfect. Everybody's done something stupid. I can still picture myself. I'm out of high school, but we're in a fast-pitch softball league. And wonderful guy was the umpire. We ended up being the same guard unit later. Nice guy. We're good friends over the years. But he must have been nearsighted or he didn't have his glasses or something that day. Because I got into my stance, you know, and I crouched right down. And that ball, I mean, it had to be eye level. There's no question about it. And it had to be slightly outside. I mean, because I thought it was. That had to be that way, right? Strike one. I looked at him. And I didn't say, you know, I wanted to say something. Anyway, I got back in my crouch and I got ready to do it. And I had to slide back a little. Strike two. Now, this is not cutting it.
choked myself. Don't get dentures. So I looked at him and he really didn't say anything. Next pitch, I was determined. I didn't care where it came from. It was up here. But I swung. And, of course, I missed it. And I then turned and took the bat and I flung that thing against the backstop. All right. Now, the reason why I say this is stupid, what immediately is going to happen to me? You're out of here. Plus, in our league, if you get thrown out by the umpire, you don't play the next two games. So, I not only
did something stupid there. I hurt the team. You may not think, well, maybe Ron getting kicked out wouldn't hurt anybody's team. But anyway, I was leadoff batter and had a decent bat and average, got on base a lot. So anyway, we've all done something stupid. What would have been the wise thing to do? You know, just eat at that time and not swung stupidly. Just you got to understand, sometimes life's going to deal you some lemons. We got to work with it once in a while. So he says here in this text, not only do I want you to be a people who pray, I want you to be a people who act wisely in your dealings with other people. And he specifically says here in the way you interact with outsiders. Now, that outsiders, you know, is a reference to non-Christians, I believe. Most commentators I'm reading, they lean toward that. Be careful how you act toward people who are not Christians. What is your goal with a non-Christian? What is your goal? You want them won to Christ. You want them to be in the family of God. You want them to experience the joy of heaven. You don't want to just win an argument. You don't want to just come across some way like, I'm better than you and you're nothing. You want to win them. So you act wisely in your interaction with them. You may have an opportunity to somehow put them down or destroy their character or whatever, but that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to act wisely. And he gives us here a little further about it. Going on, first he says, make the most of every opportunity. When you're dealing with people, especially non-Christians, make the most of an opportunity. Well, what is the opportunity? Let me introduce you to Jesus. Let me introduce you to my Savior. Let me show you what got my God. Those type of things. Now, sometimes... Huh? Somebody remembers my illustration. So, don't... We got to make sure that we act right. Yeah, in that particular situation, I think his name was Charlie Stevenson, if I remember correctly. Ended up being a really good guy in our guard unit. But wasn't much of an umpire. I got him a pair of glasses for Christmas. Anyway, I would have had trouble if Charlie was not a Christian, and I couldn't tell you this day whether he was or wasn't. I certainly didn't act like one that day. But I could not tell you whether or not my life had a positive influence on him that day. If anything, I would say it had what? The negative. I was sitting there thinking the other day, which is, you know, good for me to do, but I was sitting there thinking the other day, what was I doing on September the 27th of 1991? Or 92? Or 93? Or 94? And I know those days were important. I know there were some important things that happened that day. I know there were some conversations I had to have. I know there were some decisions that had to be made. But time has gone on. And all those things that I thought were so precious on those days, they're gone. I need to make sure what I'm doing is planting seeds and watering crops that will produce for eternity and not just somehow affect my life only. Let's be wise. And he emphasizes here a couple of ways you can go about it. He says in verse 6, let your conversation be always full of what? What is grace? Unmerited favor. You're cutting people a break. They don't deserve the kindness that you're showing them. Whatever they've done, they don't deserve gentleness. They don't deserve... What they deserve is what the world wants to do. If somebody hits you, what are you supposed to do? If they scream at you, what do you do? If they curse you, what do you do? That's what the world responds. But you instead respond with a conversation, with a mouth that's full of grace. Seasoned with salt. I'm not much on adding salt to anything. How many people like to add salt to your food? Okay, several of you. My mom had heart condition, and she was not allowed to add salt to a lot of foods and stuff. So she cooked a lot of her food without salt, and then you could add on. And I can see my dad like this, you know, he's just having a good old time. But I never added salt to food because mom just cooked it and it tasted good to me that way, so I never added a lot of salt. Now, I do like salt on French fries. And I like salt on lima beans for some reason. They just like that. Those two things, they're mine. All right. So, and a little bit of cantaloupe once in a while. I used to put salt on cantaloupe. All right. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody else or not, but that's what I did. Why do you put something like that on? just to add a little bit of the flavor or change, just something you got used to. So you're supposed to have your mouth, your speech, your actions, your treatment to others should be just like something just seasoned with salt to just make it just right. You should do the same with your life. If you're having a conversation with your spouse, you're having a conversation with your children, you're having a conversation with your parents, you're having a conversation with neighbors, whatever, let them see that your life has been seasoned with the life of Jesus Christ. Let them see the grace of God flowing. And then it says here, so that you may know how to answer everyone the way God wants you to do that. These are the things we need to focus on. These are two musts. Be a person that is devoted to prayer. Be a person devoted to prayer. If you're not, get yourself on board. And be a person who makes the most of every opportunity to live wisely, to live in a way that pleases God. Be wise about how you live, because how you live will affect other people's lives for eternity. Make your decision to make sure these two musts are in your life from this point forward. All right, our invitation song today, as they come to prepare for the instruments and singing, is going to be Revive Us Again, probably an appropriate song in light of the message. Revive Us Again. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the Scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations. I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the Scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit to being baptized into Christ. For the remission of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, we will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. Tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. We'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer but you haven't joined your fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus as a believer. I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.